I hope that because of maybe the holiday, or maybe our focus on God Himself, the majesty of our Heavenly Father, I hope that this season has been a period of thankfulness for you, of gratitude for you. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to take what I call a deeper look at thankfulness. And I thought, well, of course, Thanksgiving weekend, a sermon on being thankful. You know, of course, that's the way Robert would do it. But in fact, this sermon didn't come from Thanksgiving. I was planning for this kind of a conversation with you, and recently Carol and I and some of our joint studies had run into some really deeper issues of what thankfulness and gratitude does in our lives, and I thought, I need to talk about this. Well, the next time that I'll be speaking, oh, look, it's Thanksgiving weekend. Okay, well, that fits. So it came around sort of out of my hands, and I'm just grateful for what I've been learning on this subject. Let's go to our Father in prayer before the lesson starts. Holy Lord, dear Father, what a glorious and a great God you are. Your majesty, your power, your perfection is so amazing. We are in awe of you and in awe of your outreach to us, and very, very humbled by it and deeply, deeply thankful. Father, help us to understand thankfulness. Help us to understand what it means to be grateful. Help us to understand the attitudes and the perspectives behind it from your word for your glory always, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So with Christian thankfulness, we can go to the standard scriptures on it. And of course, the story of the lepers is one of the classics, right? It's all about thankfulness. 10 lepers healed, only one comes back. You think that sounds astounding? Only one comes back. But I bet you God doesn't have anywhere near that high a percentage on a daily basis of the people in the world. Ephesians chapter 5. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. 1 Thessalonians, this is becoming for me our congregational scripture. 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So we can collect up our nice little package of Thanksgiving scriptures and giving thanks scriptures and tell each other to give thanks, be thankful, just do it. In fact, let's practice. This is not a joke. I'd like you to join me and everybody say together, thank you. Ready? Thank you. Oh, that wasn't everybody. Let's try that again. Thank you. That's harder to say at times. That's hard to say from some points of view. We ought to try the other side of it because that's hard to say too. Let's say you're welcome. You're welcome. One more time. You're welcome. Those two little phrases have a lot of power in them. They have a lot of power in them. Thank you has as its core an awareness. We're going to talk about this a little bit more as we go along. An awareness of you not being able to or not doing something. Somebody else has filled in part of your life. Or somebody else has provided a good or a kindness. And in fact, thankfulness is a humility to others. Thankfulness is a laying down of ourselves a bit to those around us. And in there lies some of the struggle. You see, Jesus, this is what we talked about the last time I spoke, but somewhere in here recently, we talked about teaching ourselves and teaching our children what it means to give up their own will. How very self-centered, especially babies are. They're sort of built that way to say, me, 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 look at me, pay attention to me. I'm not happy. I'm not comfortable. Sometimes just look at me. And they'll squall and they'll cry and they'll keep you awake. And you can explain to them, you can have conversations with them, and it doesn't affect them at all as they insist on your attention to them. And that's for their good. Obviously, God put that in them. God put it into a mom to react with that jumpy discomfort when a baby cries. I've been with women, and when a baby's crying somewhere in the room, and they'll tap you on the shoulder and say, can we go to another room? I can't be here with that child crying. It just sends a need through me. So we talked about how to help children as they grow up, even from little ones, to have a not my will attitude about life. And therefore, by the way, we learn how to have a not my will attitude. As Jesus said in Luke 22, as Jesus himself says in Luke 22, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. So if we look back at the middle verse we just talked about, right? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Well, how does it end? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Not my will, but God's will. Not my will. I don't always feel like rejoicing. I don't always feel like praying. I don't always feel like giving thanks. Not my will. God has a lesson for me in understanding these verses. And in the most powerful and most focused aspect of this, the greatest aspect is in God himself. And that's really the foundation of those three principles. Because I don't want to say the only way, but the only way in my pea brain that I can imagine rejoicing always, because this world gives us a lot of reasons not to rejoice. This world gives us a lot of reasons not to be positive. This world gives us a lot of reasons to grit our teeth and not enjoy what's going on. And that's, of course, not what rejoice always means. Except when we stand in the presence of our Father, which is continually in Christ. When we understand who he is and his greatness. And so the most foundational, the most fundamental part of thankfulness is thankfulness for God himself. Thankfulness for who God is. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The song says his love endures forever, because this is where the song came from. But my version says, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Just God himself, with no actions and even no relationship, just an awareness of who God is enough to simply be thankful, is enough to simply be grateful. And so we fundamentally can give thanks. But then we go beyond that, and most normally, this is the normal pathway of thankfulness, is that God gives us good things. God, thank you for that gorgeous snow outside. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for healing me. Thank you that that whatever bug that was going through the people last week didn't hit me. Boy, I'm glad I didn't get sick last week. Oh, I feel good. Thank you, God. And that's the way most people live and react, and there's nothing wrong with that. This is David praising God in 1 Chronicles 29. Oh, Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. Therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. There's money in your bank account, thank God. There's health in your body, thank God. The last surgery was successful, thank God. And for those good things and the specific answers that he gives us, we thank God. But then when we look farther in Scripture, we find that we're to thank God in all circumstances. In Philippians 4, Paul's talking specifically, that should read verse 12, not verse 2. My typist is messing up again. Philippians 4, 12. I even noticed it when I went through it last night and still didn't fix it. Paul says, I know how to get along in humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. So Paul talks about his own contentment, his own thankfulness in all circumstances. So we acknowledge God when there's money in the bank, but when we're overdrafted, we can acknowledge and thank God for that too, that our bank reins us in, maybe. And we learn from that as well. That in all circumstances, we can have a contentment, a thankfulness. You know, ungratitude is an awful personality trait. If anybody ever gets called somebody else ungrateful, yikes. I mean, how ungrateful you have to be for them to, for da-da-da-da-da-da-da, fill in the blank. Boy, that person is so ungrateful. They come in every day, and all they do is, I don't recommend having conversations like this, by the way. But you hear them. And how painful it is, one, to be talking negatively about somebody like that, but two, to run into that kind of characteristic in people. Ungrateful, to lack gratitude, just because some times are more difficult than others. And then specifically in pain, to thank God in pain. Acts chapter 5 talks about the disciples who are flogged, who are beaten. Acts 5 verse 40. After calling in the apostles, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they released them. And so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. To be thankful to truly be thankful for pain, to be thankful for suffering. In Christ, because there's a point, because there's a purpose, either to sharpen us or to use us as an inspiration to others, do you realize what the calling of the Jews out of Egypt was all about? God could have detoured the Jews. He could have left the entire family back up in Canaan. He could have provided them food there. But no, they needed to go to Egypt and live in Egypt for 400 years and then be enslaved in Egypt to be saved by God as a reflection of the salvation in Christ. In other words, mankind had to see the one salvation to understand the framework of the other salvation, had to see the one salvation to cement and formulate their relationship with God as a people, so that when Christ came and he saved not only those people, but all people. So thankfulness out of the slavery of Egypt culminates in Christ. And you know of the complaining and the whining and the grumbling of the people of Israel in the desert, and how angering and frustrating that it was for our God. He intends that as his people, we don't kick against trouble and pain. And then where I really want to go in this lesson is toward people. Being thankful, having a gratitude, a fundamental gratitude for our brothers and sisters, for the people around us. You see, every one of these has a failure. Every one of these has a result. And this is kind of what Carol and I ran into recently, that a lack of thankfulness has a serious failure to it. A lack of thankfulness has a serious side. For when we fail to be thankful, if we fail to be thankful for the majesty and the wonder and the glory of God, we end up putting ourselves up as something to be appreciated. We develop a pride, a faithlessness. Romans chapter 1 has a strong warning about those who do not give thanks to God. We always ought to be a people who, and you can see the development of the humility that thankfulness has here. We always ought to be a people and teach our children to be thankful to God. What if we're not thankful for the things that he provides us? What if we assume it was by our own hard work, our own clever thinking, our own ability to manipulate and get that good job, our own skill with money and smart manipulation of things, that we were able to get the stuff we've got? All of a sudden, the stuff becomes that much more important to us. We become covetous. We become excited about what we have. I heard an awful, awful radio ad. It's not my notes. I hope I don't make myself too long. I just ran into this last Wednesday. National radio ad said, you know why they call it Black Friday? And the other person said, no, why do they call it Black Friday? Because when you go out Friday and buy all that new stuff, you come home and your house is already packed full of junk. Now what are you going to do? Well, we'll tell you what to do. Call our company, and I can't remember the name of the company, because we'll come and haul away your junk. Just pack it up and let us know what it is, and we'll deal with it. We'll resell it, we'll refurbish it, we'll re-whatever, and we'll get rid of your junk. It's an advertisement acknowledging that American homes are packed full of stuff. And that when you go out and buy more stuff, you end up coming home with bags of stuff going, okay, where do I put this stuff? But don't worry, we've got your solution. Pay us and we'll take away the old stuff. Is that one of the most pitiful things you've ever heard? I mean, I already know that the first weeks of January, all of the big stores are going to be selling. They'll move it right down to the front of the store. They'll be selling tubs, right? Storage tubs. Because all the gifts we give each other for Christmas have got to be put somewhere, and we're going to have too many clothes and too many things and too much on the shelves, whatever. But we can't get rid of it because, you know, it's our stuff. And so we buy tubs of things, and we stack the tubs up. Oh, man, I built a new shed in the backyard about 10 whatever years ago, and I'm building the shed going, it looks like bigger barns to me. I'm building bigger barns. Lord, tell me this isn't bigger barns. I couldn't pound anything together on that shed. We built it, but without thinking, Father, please, I don't want to love my stuff. I don't want to just build more storage space so that I can have more stuff. So if we fail to fall before God and we think we're self-reliant, if we think we're independent and self-reliant, that it's not God who cares for us, we will run into a conflict with who's providing what for our lives. If we fail to be thankful in all circumstances, then we get into one of the favorite pastimes for Western civilization, that's complaining. We complain about, well, I first noticed it badly when I listened to economists. They complained, if the jobless rate goes down and more people are working, that's terrible for our economy. But if the unemployment rate goes up, if more people are out of the job, that's terrible for our economy. If this happens, it's terrible. If the interest rate goes up, it's terrible. If the interest rate goes down, it's terrible. And I went, wait a second. It can't all be terrible. And then I realized that all they're doing is chasing around economists that'll tell you any bad news that they can. They'll have a microphone to put it in front of anybody who's complaining. And that's what we get. And therefore, we all join in the complaining. Rather than the appreciation, rather than living lives of gratitude. And in trouble and pain, obviously pain is hard. Obviously trouble is hard. But we end up focusing on the pain, focusing on the trouble. And we end up, rather than growing stronger, we end up weaker. You all know, you've experienced it. You know that through pain and through trouble, God has strength for you. And at the end of it, you'll be stronger. But if we stay self-centered, self-focused, rather than God-focused or other-focused, we'll lose his growth. And if we don't develop the right appreciation and gratitude for people, we'll end up jealous because other people get acknowledgments. We'll end up jealous because other people get folks' attention or relationships. It happens in families, jealousness and separateness, rather than gratitude. Rather than being jealous for somebody else's relationship, why not be grateful that people have close relationships? Rather than be jealous that somebody's getting thanked, or somebody got a promotion, or somebody's getting paid more than we are, or whatever it might be, rather than parking yourself there, be grateful for the good that's happening in their lives. That's called grace. Gracious. They are so gracious. That person is so gracious. They're always happy for good things that happen to people. What a great way to live. Or we're judging. Well, they didn't deserve that. And we end up being divisive. We're dividing ourselves from one another. All from a core lack of thankfulness, of gratitude, because we're living in a measured comparison life rather than a thankful life. The core of Christian thankfulness, we talked about it, it's a recognition of good. It's a recognition that there's something good. Whether it's strength and pain, whether it's the delivery of care, whether it's a relationship, whether it's learning the word, whether it's a promotion, whether it's the people rallying around somebody who's lost their job. Whatever it might be, it's a recognition of good, and it's a good that comes from outside of yourself. Thankfulness at its core is the acknowledgement of good that's not in here, not my good. It's good around me, good done by others. And it comes, and the connection for us is that it acknowledges that we need them. We need others. We need God. I used to really dislike the old Barbra Streisand song, "People Who Need People." And the song goes, "People who need people are the luckiest people of the world." I go, "Oh, that's ridiculous. Needy people. I don't know." And I grumble, grumble, grumble. Didn't like the song, didn't like the performance, whatever. But it keeps popping up, and you hear it every once in a while. And over the years, I began to say, you know, if we think we don't need people, that's a pretty foolish place to live. None of us can survive. First of all, the fundamental need of a human is to love and be loved. Well, if all you got is you, that's pretty empty love. So the fundamental aspect of our nature is people. And we need to know that we need people. In fact, thankfulness, the humility in thankfulness is an acknowledgement, the health of thankfulness, because of the strength of God, mind you, this is written to Christians. The health of thankfulness is the acknowledgement of my insufficiency. I cannot do this alone. I don't know what kind of a mess I would be, except that I married this amazing woman sitting here, my wife, sweet wife Carol. She has sharpened me, changed me, inspired me. God has used her as a tool in my life in ways I don't even know. We need people. And if we don't think we need people, then we need to go back to our Heavenly Father and say, "Teach me, Lord, because I need to know how to be truly grateful." So we just had an entire list of sins, serious, dividing, damaging, life-crushing sins that thankfulness cures. Thankfulness can get rid of jealousy so quickly. Imagine where you're tempted to be jealous inside of your family, inside of your relationship. At the job. Oh, sure. His projects always get praised. My projects sit over here on the back desk. Be thankful that your office is producing praiseworthy work and appreciate the things going on around you. Be thankful that you have a job in an office where you can connect with people, where you can apply your skills. Thankfulness has an amazing way in God's hands of changing us. Being thankful for people. Romans 1, verse 8 and 9. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world." In other words, here's this. Paul had never written, when Paul wrote this letter, he'd never been to Rome. But what he knew about Rome is that they're faithful people. And so he could write, "I thank God for you. I am thankful for you because I hear of your faith." I don't know any of them. He did know some of them because he greeted them at the end. But he knew them because they'd moved out there. But he didn't know the congregation, but he had heard about how faithful they were. So just your walk of faith. People don't even need to know you, and they're thankful to you. 1 Thessalonians Chapter 1, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus. In this case, Paul knew very well these people. He had seen their faith. He had seen their work of faith. He had seen their love. He had seen how they labored in love. And he had seen how steadfast they were in their hope. Their work of faith, their labor of love. So you don't even need to know people to be thankful for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can just hear about them. But if you do know them, just like a husband or wife. I know, Carol and I used to travel around to congregations. The military would move you every 3 years. And so the three-year cycle with the congregation is the first year is, wow, what a great congregation. These are such wonderful people. And the second year, you get to know people really well, and you go, oh, okay, well, that's pretty nice people here. There's a few struggles. It's kind of tough in spots, and so-and-so's got a pretty odd perspective on this, that, or the other, and my goodness, it's a little bit of a challenge in this congregation. And the third year, you get ready for the army to move you again. So just like a marriage, you can list out, because you know the person's weaknesses. You can list out your partner's weaknesses, but don't. You forgive those. You let the Lord work on those. You list their strengths to you and to them. And you let God work on the other part. And so it is with our congregations. Paul knew what the Thessalonians had difficulties. In fact, he wrote about them in the two letters we have. But he didn't start there. He started praising them for their faith, their love, and their hope. And finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I thank my God. Now, this is the church in Corinth. The entire letter is a rebuke, okay? The entire letter is a rebuke. You don't do this right, you don't have this right, you don't have that right, you don't have that right. No, by the way, I got to teach you on this because you don't have that right either. I thank my God. I thank my God always concerning you. You know why? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and read verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you because of God's grace. For the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. What did they do to earn that? Nothing. How good was their work? Maybe. How good was their faith? I don't know. He didn't mention it. He mentioned God working in them. I am thankful for you because you've got God's grace. And then verse 5. That in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge. God's working in you. You've got his grace. And you've got his riches. What an amazing place to praise people. In other words, it shows deep gratitude, not earned gratitude. Thankfulness that comes from knowing God. There are some reasons that thankfulness is hard. Insecurity can be in the way. Somebody can have such little value, can have so much insecurity that saying thank you to anybody is acknowledging somebody else's praise. And they have a hard time because they feel empty themselves. God can fill you. God can heal that. But insecurity, if you have a hard time saying thank you, if you have a hard time being grateful, check out whether your own insecurity, your own sense of self is hurting. A failure to trust. Relationships could have hurt you badly. Relationships do hurt, and especially when they come on children. Developing adults who don't know how to trust well. God shows you how to trust. And so if you're having a hard time with thankfulness and with gratitude with people, and somebody does something kind for you, you can think, what do they want? Why did they do that? I don't understand why they did that. Why did they do that? Why are you being nice to me? And barriers and lack of trust go up, even to kindnesses. God can help take down those barriers. Social uncertainty. I don't know what the rules are here. I don't know how this kindness stuff goes. I don't know how to be kind. I don't know if people being kind to me. You can be uncertain in the group setting. You can have an inadequacy of give and take. Well, if you did something for me and I say thank you, does that mean I have to do something for you? Well, Jesus erases that. He says, don't worry about that. Just do nice things. Don't do things to those who can do things back to you so that they feel obligated. Just do nice things. Just be good. So people can feel inadequate and not know how to say thank you and not know how to engage in the give and take of kindnesses because they think it's obligatory and they think it's due. And if somebody gives you a gift, well, then I have to give them a gift back, and on and on and on it goes. And that's not the way Christ teaches us. And then there's just a simple failure to think outside themselves. The person who doesn't even know that there's a waiter or a waitress that comes to their table and brings them the food. The person who doesn't even notice that there's people before them and behind them in line at the grocery store. They're just in their own world, thinking about their own situation, and they failed to connect and notice kindnesses and needs, the rest of it going on around them. God has solutions for all of these things, but if thankfulness is really hard, if gratitude is something that causes you difficulty or stumbling, look down this list and talk to a friend and go to our Heavenly Father. Philippians 2, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And Ephesians 5, where we were, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the God of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There's a lot more depth, and we haven't plumbed those depths here this morning. There's a lot more depth to gratitude and thankfulness than we know. But it is not a casual, flippant thing. It's not just a thanks. It includes thank you notes for those gifts you're going to be getting next month. It includes teaching your children not to rip from one gift to the next. It includes not allowing your children to just sit and pout when the food put in front of them is not what they wanted. Don't fall into the trap of just feeding your children food that they want. If they don't eat, they will somewhere along the way. I know there are difficulties, there are eating disorders, I understand. I'm not being flippant about that. I'm talking about straightforward child rearing in which we don't allow our children to grow up to be ungrateful, to be self-focused, that we get them to look up and notice that there's people behind those gifts, that there's care and money and preparation behind that food, that our children know how to be thankful. Thank you so much for your time and attention in this lesson. God is glorious. God is great. What a Heavenly Father we have. So out of gratitude to Him, we praise Him and thank Him and follow His word. He sent His Son to reconnect to us, and we should always be grateful for that. If any here this morning have not been baptized into Christ, if you're ready to make that step of faith, or if you have any need that we can help you with, please come forward and let us know what it is while we stand and sing the song that Bruce has selected.